Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As the world turns insane.
No matter what else we do in life, we all need to find a way to be sexuality educators for the kids in our lives.
Okay, game on. This is Wretched Radio, gotta tell ya. Oh, who do these educators think that they are? Indoctrinating our children, trying to persuade them that they should be confused about their sexuality. And I got to tell you that desire to indoctrinate children regarding sexuality, it sure is a one-way street, isn't it?
Sorry, I can't contain myself. Today was the last day of school, and I teach fourth grade. And I have, like, the most amazing students. And I've been keeping a secret from them all year long. Sorry, these are tears of joy, tears of joy. So I finally came out to my students. I was like, class, I have something really personal that I need to tell you. And I think it's really important for me to share this with you. I just want you guys to know that Miss Fontania, your teacher that you've had all year, I want you guys to know that I'm straight.
No!
And they were so accepting of my straightness. I showed them pictures of my husband, and I was like, yeah, that's my husband, guys. That's my husband. And I also said, if you guys ever want to talk to me about what it's like to be straight, like, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I had so many kids tell me they were straight, too.
This is Wretched Radio. As the world turns bonkers, it appears woke isn't dead. This was written by one Percy Sinclair. Wokeism isn't even dying. It's not even in the hospital. In fact, it's not really hiding at all. Research on school libraries in my local community went in and took a look for books. What is it that we got in there? And so they went to the She went to the searchable catalog of all the library books online. And she used terms like gay, lesbian, transgender, other terms like that, and compiled a list of all books featuring LGBT themes across 23 elementary, middle, and high schools. There were, Jimmy, go ahead. How many books did, now individual titles, how many books do you think that there were to try to persuade the kids to make a hash of their lives?
Over 400.
You know, it's not bad. 690.
Wow.
Featured LGBT themes. Every single school library in the county had at least one. Even the elementary schools. Gotta tell you, chutzpah. It's just chutzpah. Who do they think that they are, educating our children in this progressive worldview that is so against common sense, natural law, and certainly the Bible? There's a book about RuPaul, the drag queen, targeted toward children ages 6+. There's another book about the history of women cross-dressing. Oh, that's a good... I love when they go back in time to try to imagine this is what happened and this is what it was like and this is how people used to think. Back, did you see the kissing? Oh, hold on. I've got it. Yeah, I got it right here. All right. Here's some evolutionary news for you. This is science at work. Headline. First kiss dates back 21 million years ago, say scientists. Oh, researchers reconstructed the evolutionary origins of kissing. Really, how'd you do that from 21 million years ago? This is such nonsense. This is a study. It was published in the Evolution and Human Behavior Journal. It is about as scientific as... I know what I was going to say, and it had something to do with the jab. The point is, this isn't science. This is science fiction is what it is. This is just making stuff up. They concluded that Neanderthals may have kissed too, and that humans and Neanderthals may have even smooched one another. Oh, how do you know that? Well, we don't. We're just a man. The study concluded Neanderthals are closest ancient human relatives that died around 40,000 years ago also kissed. How did it conclude that? It didn't. They're just making stuff up. And so are the people who go back in time to try to tell us what people were thinking, how they were acting, what their attitudes were. Unless you've got a lot of things, you know, written down. The history of women cross-dressing. Middle schools, even worse than the elementary. Nearly 170 books with LGBT themes are available in these libraries. Founded middle schools in Beet Red County of a Beet Red State. So this woman who wrote this and did this research apparently lives in a red state. What is it like in a blue state? Who knows? Themes vary widely, but focus highly on normalizing homosexuality and coming out. Jimmy, did I tell you, I won't say which campus we were at, but we were at a campus in back I think I remember which one it is now. I'm not going to say it, but I do remember. In the back of the stage, there was a door that had a door frame. Like if you were shopping at Home Depot for a door frame and a door there, that's what I'm talking about. So it's a door frame and a door just standing there like a prop. But the door is painted with a rainbow. And up on top it said, coming out.
Oh,
see what they did right there? See? Do we do that? Do we have a backstage? Do we have a door with a cross on it? Coming out as a Christian? No, because... that's not wanted there. Gender identity, trans, queer themes prominent in these books. Nearly 470 books with LGBT themes are present across four high schools, just four in this red county. Some of them are disturbing, which means that's where we're going to end the article right there. Because zoinks, Scoob. They want your kids. They want your children. And I, to me, this conversation, I think we need to have it at the level that we're currently at. But we also, I think, need to elevate the conversation. Whose role is it to teach our kids about these types of issues? Well, who said that teachers were supposed to be doing anything but reading, writing, and arithmetic, which ain't real good writing? Neither is reading, because it's got a W. What is that W doing? Oh, the English language. Who said that the teacher should be teaching these subjects? Sex ed? Are you kidding me? We're letting our kids be taught about these subjects by educators? Speaking of being taught by educators, as the world turns insane, this out of Australia. This is from Deakin University, 2025 Guide for Parents. Developmental researchers have concluded, if you're a parent of a child, you need to ask their consent before you change their diaper. That's right. You need to ask your baby's consent to change their diaper. Don't you understand, gentle parent, that you need to teach them to respect their bodies? And to only give permission for people to touch those areas? Duh. Which, by the way, why are those areas even off limits? From an evolutionary standpoint, what's the problem here? Why aren't we all just running around sans clothing? Why is it a big deal? Only the Bible explains such things. Quote, at the start of a nappy change, ensure your child knows what's happening. Get down to their level and say, you need a nappy change. And then pause so they can take this in. Jimmy, you want to do a role play?
I'd rather not.
I was going to be the baby. And you asked me if I need a nappy change. Just give it a try. And
do you need a nappy change?
Wah!
Oh, come on. You need one.
What are you going to do with that? Okay, let's keep role playing. One more time.
Okay. Do you need a nappy change?
No. Now what do? You let the kid just sit there in a wet diaper because they didn't give you permission to change their nappy? Then you can say, do you want to walk or crawl with me to the changing table? Or would you like me to carry you? Researchers recommend observing a child's facial expressions and body language to check if they understand what's happening. Yeah, here's what's happening. A big person is helping a little person. That's what they need to know. That my parent is doing something good for me. That's what we need to communicate. This can help be a time to help children learn about consent and how their bodies work. As a part of gentle parenting, it'll help them prepare for future conversations about bodily autonomy. Would you please provide the scientific proof, oh researchers, at Deakin University in Australia? They've got none, zero, zip. The educators, all they're doing is making up stuff and trying to impose it on our children. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Survey says this is Wretched Radio, and Sam Rayner, one of the Rayner boys, says he's got the top reasons for church conflict. Not that we need to be educated in these issues, because let's be honest, every church has conflict. Why? Anytime you have a building that is filled with sinners, Christian or otherwise, you're going to have conflict. The question, of course, is what do we do about it? And what do we do with these conflicts? I think that there is a biblical principle that God has brilliantly implemented so that we aren't constantly fighting with one another. And that concept, of course, is called adiaphoron. Adiaphoron. While the merry mouth. Have you noticed that Christmas music has already started? Ay, gavilta fish. Burl Ives, I'm going to have a holly jolly Christmas. You just can keep it to yourself. Now, I don't need to hear it when I'm out shopping at a grocery store. Just the Christmas. Why do we have so much Christmas music in this country? It remains a mystery to me why it is on so long. I think it must be driven by merchandisers, just constant tickler. Don't forget, you got to buy stuff. Don't forget it's coming. Don't forget you better shop. Don't forget Black Friday's almost here. I can't think of any other reason that we need to hear Holly Jolly Christmas 74,000 times before December 24th, but I digress. Adiaphoron is God's way of saying, y'all can have differences of opinion. Now get along. Play nice. These are issues that we call Christian liberty issues, things that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. And that principle is in Romans 14. It's in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 also. Three chapters dedicated to the concept that, hey, we're just going to disagree on some stuff. And it's okay. And we can get along. Sam Rayner, identifying the top reasons for church conflict. We really, really need to understand the concept of adiaphoron better. Here are some of the strange reasons for church conflict that he has amassed over the course of the years. There was a church who fought over the appropriate length of the pastor's beard. Well, see, I can understand that. Actually, I can't. What is that beyond a preference issue? Seriously, in theological triage, where does that even land? What do you have for the number 24? It's like 24th in the list. That it's really? Really? And yet we fight? Jimmy, now that you're over 40, do you increasingly sort of almost more experientially, not in kind of a Gnostic kind of way, but just in a maturation kind of way, you sort of get this where you see people, it's like, okay, they think something different than I do, but I actually understand how they could get there, why they think that way, and therefore I can live with it. Are you starting to get that sense yet?
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit, yeah.
A little.
Yeah, it'll increase, I think, where you can see reasonable people that come up with just a different interpretation of a situation, a political event, something that's going on in the church. And you can go, okay, I can respect them. I disagree with them, but I'm not on the same page, but I'm not going to fight with them over this. I think that's not just an adiaphoron issue. I think that's a maturation issue. Here's another reason for a church fight. A church was fighting over whether to build a children's playground or use the land for a cemetery. Well, that's one way to use it. That's another way to use it. Now, which way should we use it? And the answer is adiaphoron. It's whatever. Do it by majority vote. That many people want it. You know what the minority says? Okay, you guys won that vote. Let's go build a playground or cemetery, whichever one it is. In fact, it would probably be a playground because we don't build church cemeteries anymore. It could be the expense, but I also think it is a loss of the optic. A cemetery says something. A cemetery is a perpetual reminder to the people who walk into church, you're going to die. That's why they ever visit some of these historic sites, whether it's Boston, Washington, and any place old in the Northeast. The cemetery, it's not out in a field over there. It is, you have to walk through it to get into any of the church doors. The cemetery, it literally surrounds the church. There was a reason for that. First of all, it was to honor those that came before us that served and helped build that church. But it also said, you're going to die. And we just don't like that message anymore. So we're more inclined to spend money on kids programs than on death programs. It's definitely a shift, but it's also definitely adiaphoron. According to Sam Rayner, here's other ways. We witnessed a conflict over people leading worship with their eyes closed during a portion of the song. That's worth a fight. One church held two business meetings to determine which weed eater to purchase. I think the importance of weed eaters is really underestimated. I kind of understand. One church had a 70% affirmative vote to excommunicate a deacon who threatened to kill the pastor.
Need to have a vote on that one?
The running joke was 30% of the congregation wants the pastor dead. The point is we can fight over stuff and have conflicts that just aren't necessary. Oh, the concept of recognizing that there are some things that aren't sinful. They're not sin. Now, if it's sinful, that's a different thing. But being able to say, okay, this is not a sin issue. I don't have to insist on my own way. Furthermore, I want to esteem others as better than myself. I want them to get their way. I want to give in. I prefer a cemetery. They want a playground. Then let's build a rockin' playground and affirm that. That comes from a heart that's just not insisting on its own way. Back to the article. I took a deep dive, writes Rayner, into hundreds of our consultations and coaching relationships. Here's what he discovered are the top reasons for church conflict. One, the surface issue masks a deeper issue. So when a church fights over, you know, something insignificant, like which weed eater to buy, it isn't really about weed eaters. It's about control, influence. Maybe it's about feeling heard. So the small issue is just used to fight a bigger unspoken issue. Church should be the place where we get to talk about these things and then point out to one another that this appears that you're insisting on having your own way just for the sake of being in control. That if we're fighting about stuff because it's about control, I think that there's a solution for that. It's not an immediate fix. It can be to a degree, but it's not an immediate fix. I think it's got to be driven from the pulpit. I think the pastor needs to show that he doesn't insist on his own way. He's willing to acquiesce. He's willing to do what the body wants. He's willing to be corrected by the body. Question, when was the last time you heard your pastor invite you to tell him when you've got something wrong? If not, it might be that it's making a field that is really fertile for fighting because he doesn't communicate that we should be able to have disagreements here and still get along. Number two, emotional investment, overinvestment in traditions like holiday programming, decorations. There's an emotional connection to them. I get that. But if it's not something that is either sinful, that's sinful, we should be able to let it go. A low trust environment amplifies small problems. I would actually change that. Well, I mean, I wouldn't discard trust, but it's a low love environment that amplifies small problems. If I don't love you, yeah, you're going to bug me. And your decisions, when they disagree with mine, I am going to want to go after them with a machete. But in a church where love is fostered, it can be handled with grace. The last straw phenomenon, another reason for conflict. professional frustration. So they've got a trivial issue becomes the breaking point after years of built up frustration. They're just ready to go. And this is it, the final straw. Members have personal frustrations, marriage, work stress, health issues, and then they bring those into the church. Small matters are easy to argue about. Fighting over what to call small groups is easier than addressing gossip. And so people fight over these things. From Rainer, the health of a church is revealed not in the absence of disagreements, but in how those disagreements are handled with humility, grace, and a shared desire to glorify God above all else. If you're in an acrimonious church, I don't know exactly what the issues are, but I feel confident in saying I know what the solution is. The pulpit. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.